Well, and we're going to get back into Hebrews tonight. I'm excited to study this. And it was so sweet. I was talking to one of the brothers, and we're in the 12th chapter, Lord willing, tonight. How we're going to be in the 22nd through the 24th verse this evening. And I said, it's just so marvelous. This is probably one of the most magnificent portions, maybe in the entire chapter, maybe even in the entire book, in a way. And I said, well, I guess I always say that, don't I? I guess I'm just kind of partial. It just kind of grows on you. But, you know, that's the Word of God. And it's just so wonderful how, you know, He just makes Himself so real to us. Such a privilege. Such a wonder. But week before last, we left off. And let's see where we'll be here. I think I'd like to go from the 18th verse of the 12th chapter, because we were talking a little bit about Sinai last time we got together. So in the 18th verse of the 12th chapter, it says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." And again, that's the mountain that's burning with fire. It's black and dark, as we're reading here. The law or legality could never bring forth light. It will never bring forth any light in your life. It only convicts, it only smothers, and it only chokes out any and all life that you already have. We're going to read a little bit about and maybe discuss a little bit about those foolish Galatians who had begun in the Spirit but thought that they were going to be perfected by the flesh. So many Christians today get caught up into that. It's the sin, again, that so easily besets us, our lack of faith. And the faith is in His grace. Do you realize that? It's the appreciation and thankfulness that will make you grow. It's appreciation and thankfulness that will make you grow in Him. Because it's free. It's a gift. It's right before us. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to read about this evening, starting here in the 22nd verse. "But ye are come." Notice that ye, again, this is wonderful, Paul speaking to Jewish Christians. Now, they're still being fought. They're still tied up a little bit in that ceremony. They're still a little bit legal, aren't they? That's what we've been reading about through this whole text. But this is who he's speaking to, those Jewish Christians. "But ye are coming to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God." And I want you to notice that these people are coming to these things. There's these visions, there's these companies that they're seeing at this time. "So they are unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." And again, so sweet that these verses are so magnificent. The very first thing we see here is Zion, as opposed to Sinai. And I don't know if you remember, Sinai means the cliff or the precipice. Zion means protection and a fortress. And that's your Jesus. He is your protection. He is your fortress. It's not your physical strength. It's not your mental ability. It's not the money in your bank account or even the lack thereof. It's Him. It's Him. He's your high tower. He's your shield. He's your buckler, isn't He? Hallelujah. The comforter. On and on and on. But Zion is our mount of grace, and we have been redeemed only by grace, by that wonderful blood that was shed. God's grace, and that grace, hallelujah, is Jesus. You might note that Psalms 48:2 says, "The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion." The joy of the whole earth. And see, that's why the world misses it, don't they? They miss it. Jesus is your joy. He's the only thing you're ever going to find joy in. Anything that you'll be searching for in life that's going to be opposed from Jesus Christ that you think is going to satisfy you is going to end up as a mess of pottage. You're going to miss it. And I regret the times that I've wasted where I thought that I would find happiness in these different things. People think it'll be in a career. They think it's in a relationship. They think it might be in moving to a certain place or being by certain people or all of these different things. It's by being with Jesus. It's by being in the house of bread. I'm going to tell you, you need to be in the house of bread. You need to be among other saints. You need to be among the other fiery coals, hallelujah, that inspire us. These are important times by the grace of God. The time is short. Your life's but a vapor anyways. People say to me, oh, well, you know, they've been talking about Jesus coming for a lot of years. Well, it talks about that in the Word of God that you're going to say that, aren't you? Where's your Jesus? He's on the wing. Don't you worry about that. And you know what? I'm going to see him shortly no matter, because I know it's just a moment. I was talking to a man today. He was telling me how much I needed life insurance. I said, well, shoot, naturally speaking, half of mine's already gone. Can you imagine that? And I look at my little guys, and I'm sure you can say the same thing, you that are older than I am. It was just a moment ago, wasn't it? It was just the other day. Yeah. It happens awfully fast, doesn't it? Get the Lord while you're young. Hallelujah. And more importantly, get Him while you're old, huh? Amen. Makes it a lot easier. You know, you start thinking of all the things and the surgeries and everything on a TV show is how you can look younger and how you can be this. And isn't it something how that all getting you going that way? Just plastic, plastic, plastic. See, I want the real thing. I don't want that false phony stuff. Hallelujah. But there's no precipice on Zion. It's our fortress. There's no cliff of death there either. And when we by grace come into Mount Zion, we are born from above, as it says here. Our citizenship is truly in heaven. We talk about many times amongst one another, and you hear it. Now are we the sons of God. Now, we spoke about this on Sunday, and I appreciate the Lord giving us opportunity and a revelation to talk about the mystery of Christ. But I so appreciate that. It's been shown to us. All right? But then it says that we can understand it. And then we can move past an understanding to really move into it. Right? To know it. Hallelujah. And have it revealed to us. Now, that's being the real Son of God. Do you really know by the grace of God that you are God's Son? Right now, that you are seated together in the heavenlies. Is that real to you? I mean, really, is that real to you? Hallelujah. I can see it. But that's what it's talking about here. It's not just merely mentioning it and just acknowledging it, say, oh, yeah, that's my son. You heard me say this many times about your spouse or my wife. So if I just said about Polly, well, that's my wife. I can talk about her. She's not here tonight. Remember my son, I had to go pick him up today. He got smacked in the mouth, so not in a fight. I think he'd take care of himself, but that's another story. But he got popped today and not feeling well, so just remember him. But if I was just complacent about my wife and just thought, well, that's just my wife, what would that be showing the love? I honor her. Doesn't mean I have to be hanging on her and different things like that. That's not necessarily showing nothing like that. But I'm talking about where you have respect. Where you honor, you love, you adore, you admire, all of those different things. That's what I believe by the grace of God, that He wants us to have in our hearts to be His wonderful Son. That now I am a son of God. I appreciate that, Lord, and I am thankful for it. And again, in growing in that appreciation and that thankfulness, that's going to grow me up into the things that God wants me to be. It's not in works. It's not in duty. It's not in all of these different things. That'll happen in my life. It'll happen in your life. God will put you in the place that you need to be. He'll have you doing the things that you need to do. But most importantly, and I appreciated speaking with one of the brothers today, it's that worshiper. It's the worshiper. Okay? Mary, don't you think that she wasn't a worker? She was a worker. She had a work. But she knew that time was to be spent worshiping. The work will happen after the worship. Take time for the worship. Take time for the Spirit and truth. He'll guide you. Do you believe that God will put you where you're supposed to be? Do you believe and trust God that you're where you're supposed to be right now? I hope you do. See, that's peace and satisfaction. See, I get my mind wandering tonight thinking about tomorrow or thinking about where I need to be or what this is going to be. That's just where the enemy wants you right now. Get in the Spirit. Get into this. Get into this Word. Get into the things of God. Let's enter into the unity of the Spirit right now. Leave it behind. Come into Christ. That's what He wants in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. But see, the heavenly Jerusalem, which is now being brought to us, being brought to these men, will never be conquered as the earthly one was. And in it is our treasure, and it lies the unsearchable riches of grace. Now, I want us to note real quick before we go on, it's vital to the understanding in this passage of this Zion that Paul now gives us a heavenly vision. That's why I was pointing this out about these different companies that the ye, which are the saved Jews here, are being presented to. These are saved Jews now being presented to a vision of what they will see. And to make note here about these three Jerusalems, too, I don't want to leave that. The Bible mentions three Jerusalems. First of all, it's the earthly Jerusalem, which is the capital city of Israel. The second is the heavenly Jerusalem, which is God's home, heaven where the blessings are bestowed. And the third is the new Jerusalem, which happens to be my favorite. And I believe it probably is most of your favorite. And that's the new name, the bride adorned, having the glory of God. Her own light, as a jasper and crystal, the Word of God tells us. There's no need for the light in that city, because who's the light of it? The Lamb. And all them that are saved walk in the light thereof. Isn't that precious? Don't you want to be a light by the grace of God to those that would walk around you? Again, I was thinking about that wonderful knowledge that we spoke about on Sunday. When you really get into knowing Christ, when you really get to know that mystery of Christ, I mean, really get into it, that is being revealed to you. That word know, to know Him, to know His ways, to know all about Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to have that wisdom and knowledge and that relationship and living in that. And as the Lord so sweetly spoke to me about that, it was that in the Word of God where it talked about a man and a woman, the most intimate time that he would say was he knew his wife. Now, it didn't just stop there, did it? If you look throughout the Word of God, when he knew his wife, something came out of that. It was the fruit. Hallelujah. When you know Jesus Christ, I mean really know Him, you can't stop the fruit that's coming out of your life. Hallelujah. And it's going to bless others, isn't it? It's going to be there that they're going to see that. And it's just like I was thinking about these ones that they walk in the light thereof. Isn't that precious? The ones that are saved. I want to be a light to people. I want them to see Jesus Christ in me. I want to be able to win, by the grace of God, people to the Lord because of the love of God in my life. Not compromising things, but really winning them to that. And it's amazing how the Lord, and I believe you would probably say the same thing, so many times it's witnessing to people about being saved, don't get me wrong, but most of the people that the Lord has me come into contact with anymore are people that really are saved, but don't really have a vision of the deeper things of God. And it's so wonderful to say, come on, let me show you something here, brother, sister in Christ. Not that I'm trying to be anything, but love to you. There's so much more. There is so much more. But this first company that we read about here, after you see there in the 22nd verse, but you're coming to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. This is that heavenly vision he's given him. And to an innumerable company of angels. This speaks of our closeness to heaven because we have been redeemed. And I'm not just close. I'm in heaven. Hallelujah. Are you in heaven? By the grace of God? Hallelujah. We're seated there. We're citizens. We're good as there. Hebrews 1:14. When we read that, it says the angels are to minister to us. Christ has purposed these angels to us in this age. And they serve according to His will. An angel of God can't do anything but what God tells them. You know, it always offends me. And I know it's offensive to God when people say, oh, so-and-so is an angel. You know what I'm saying? And especially when somebody, you know, passes away or goes to be with the Lord and they said, well, they're just a sweet angel. No, they're not a sweet angel. No, they're redeemed. They had a choice to believe. They were the one given free will. That's what this thing's all about, is free will to enter into the great mystery, hallelujah, and be His bride. But they all have a purpose, these angels, and it's all according to the will of God. For protection for us, that's true. For defending, delivering Christ's blessings to us in our lives. And I mentioned this, I think, a couple times to you. Two times in my life, people that I didn't know. One time I distinctly remember in my office, and the other one I can't remember where it was. And I'm sure many of you probably have had this experience as well, too, where people I didn't even know come up to me and they said, "Do you realize there's angels all around you?" Yeah. Well, that's exciting. It's nice. I really appreciate it. But why would we be surprised? We're the apple of God's eye. And He'll use whatever He wants to protect us. I want you to understand that. And He could send 10,000 angels. He could do all those different things. But and I appreciate those wonderful angels that He would send to protect me. But it's Him. It's Him. See, people get caught up into the angel thing. You know how that goes. There's all these different things that the enemy will use. And I was thinking of that old enemy. There he is trying to defeat us from God's best. He's doing anything that he can. But yet he's necessary to win God's best, too. Isn't that something? You ever thought about it that way? It's true. Who's going to tempt you? Huh? Know your word. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. And I'm thankful that God set it up this way. I may not understand it, but I believe Him. I'm going to be simple. Hallelujah. And I praise God for it, that He keeps me like that. Next, we see this general assembly. In the Greek, it means panagrarios, which is the gathering of the whole nation. This is the universal gathering of saints and angels from every age that truly will make up the innumerable multitude. I love this text, and we're going to go in, by the grace of God, into Revelation 5, because so many people will look at Revelation and say, "Well, I don't really understand this. I don't see where these groups are, or these different people." Let me tell you, it's over and over in the Word of God. And they're being presented to this right now, these Jews, again, that are struggling with the grace of God. So it goes on to say here that this is this gathering of saints. God, since the Christ's resurrection, has been offering this fruit or this feast to everyone. So glad and thankful again that I'm sitting at this table that's spread for me. See, this is living. Now are we the sons of God, raised together, sitting with Christ right now in the heavenlies. But in this, it's so precious because there's even a more precious truth in this gathering, and it's hidden in this next group, which is the church of the firstborn. And I really want to bring this back out again. This is why I was emphasizing this in verse 22. But ye are coming to Mount Zion. And again, who are ye? They're those saved Jews. All right. This is Paul speaking to the saved Jews. Ye are come to this. And they come into Mount Zion. They come into this innumerable company of angels. They come into this general assembly. And now they come to this special group, which is the church of the firstborn. Now, these, again, are saved people that he's talking to about here. But they are not part of this church of the firstborn. They're coming unto it. They see it. And I'll tell you, there's something special about this church of the firstborn we're going to explore. The firstborn are saints that are not yet in heaven. They are present church-age saints awaiting their glorified bodies. And I'd like you to turn now with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. I want you to see somebody else who's kind of referred to as a firstborn here. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'd like you to turn over to Colossians 1:18 now. And he is the head of the body, the church, our wonderful Lord, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This tells us that Jesus was the firstborn from among the dead. And I'm going to tell you something. This is also the only time in the Word in this Hebrews here, in this 12th chapter and in this 22nd verse, that a group of believers are referred to as the firstborn. And it leaves no doubt that this is talking about a rib company here. Okay? Because this rank is as Christ himself. It's very similar to saying how this is the firstborn and how wonderful that is. This truly is the out-resurrection. The out-resurrection, the company that's seen there in Philippians 3:11. And again, this follows the same thinking. Now, stay with me on this, if you would. It follows the same thinking that if there is a high calling of God in Christ, if there's a high calling, there must be a lower calling. All right. One star differs from another in glory. Every man in his own order.
So if some are called firstborn ones, as Christ, there must be others that are later born or raised after this firstborn. Just as Christ was the first fruit, this is the first fruit among believers, the bride. Now we have to go back here again to Hebrews 11:35. Let's go back and recall what we read there. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Do you recall that when we studied it? That was the better resurrection of the Old Testament believers. And you have to go over to Matthew 27. Let's go back for a refresher there in Matthew 27. And that's verses 51 through 53. 27:51-53. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This is when sweet Jesus went into heaven. Hallelujah. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Not all of them. Many of them. Many of them got their glorified bodies at that time, but not all of them. These are the Old Testament worthies. These were the Old Testament overcomers. Now again, we talked about on Sunday types and signs and symbols and shadows. What is this? This is the greatest of great. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, there are going to be full overcomers. We're going to talk about them. Those are the 24 elders that are seen right there. Very first ones seen in heaven right before the four living ones are seen there. Hallelujah. This is the sweetest stuff. And they came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let's turn over to Revelation 5. And this kind of seals it all. See, the angels are silent in heaven at this time. Until Christ is on the throne with His bride. This is where we're getting here. Apostle John, he's crying at this time. If you go to verse 4, he's very concerned because nobody can open the book. And he's crying. He says, who's worthy to open this book? And you'll notice there in this sweet passage of Scripture that an elder talks to him. One of the elders. Isn't that sweet? Speaks of maturity, doesn't it? He says, you know what, brother, it's all right. The Lamb's here. Now, is that your life? Now, come on. The Lamb's here. Is He? Hallelujah. Jesus. That's peace. That's joy. That's rest. See, we can glean so many things from this. He wants us to have this peace. He wants us to have this rest. The husband's heart rests in her. She rests in her husband. I want to rest in my Lord Jesus Christ. There's a peace there. I don't worry about my spouse. When you truly love one another and it's godly, you don't go off to work or go off in the day and you worry. That's not what love is about. Love is peaceful. Love rests. Love rejoices. Love works together. All of these wonderful things. Like I said on Sunday, Jesus is a marvelous marriage counselor. Because He's the counselor. Don't need to go looking everywhere. I'm telling you, you don't. You just need to love Him. And He'll cause your love for one another to grow like you never believe. It's true. All right. There's a real simplicity in Christ and He'll save you a lot of money. All right. So, but an elder comes up to Him. Now, verse 8. Those four living ones, the bride, they start the worship. Look at that. So wonderful here. And I'm kind of going through this a little bit quickly. You see, I'm going through it quickly, and we might get through the 24th verse. We might get through three verses tonight. But there's just, again, so much. But you'll notice again and again, over and over, the true worshiper that God's seeking for His Son worships in spirit and truth. They start the worship. There's a continual worship. We talked about it. It's a lifestyle, isn't it? Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to lift up your voice unto the Lord. Don't be able to stand and withstand for your wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, I want to be a pillar in the house of the Lord. Do you know that talks about that there, the Philadelphia church? Oh, hallelujah. And thee I'll make a pillar, never to go out no more. That's an awesome invite. I want to tell you, it's such an awesome invite to be a pillar in the house of the Lord. But again, these are Hebrew brothers. They can only come to this feast. They don't have the place of the church of the firstborn the bride. And do you recall, I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. Kind of keep your finger over there, maybe Revelation 5, because I think we're going to go back over there. But back into Hebrews. Let's go back into chapter 9. How many months ago was that, huh? All right, chapter 9. See, that's why we have to recall and bring these things to our remembrance. And especially verse 5. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak. Now, particularly. And it was so sweet how the Lord brought out to us that cherubim. Again, speaking of the bride of Christ. The one in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. The full overcomer that was sitting there. Again, looking at that mercy seat. Looking at that blood. Understanding that it was by the blood. Understanding that it's all by grace. Hallelujah. That He will finish it. Always there with the groom. But the bridal type of the four living creatures seated in the Holy of Holies, looking on that mercy seat. But notice verse 5, Paul says, we cannot now particularly speak. What he's saying here is you can't understand this. And if they couldn't understand the type of the cherubim, how in the world would they ever understand the type of the church of the firstborn? Now think about this. The reason that Paul did not mention it, more of that type of the cherubim, the Jewish believers were still struggling with the grace of God. That's what they were struggling with. When you frustrate the grace of God, you become bewitched. When you frustrate the grace of God, you become accursed. Did you know that? That word accursed means to be stunted. It means to be deformed. What does the Word of God talk about? We will grow up into Him as perfect. Perfected. That's not perfected. There's something wrong. There's something out of kilter. And when we don't, by His grace, completely embrace that it is His gift, again, in appreciation and thankfulness going forward, it's never going to happen. You're never going to develop into what He's looking for His Son. The true worshiper is Spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit's going to bring all that Word, isn't He? Hallelujah. How did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Did you have to say something? Did you have to chant? Did you have to do so many tasks or this or that? Why do people that even come to Jesus Christ and get saved get filled at the same moment? I love that kind of stuff. Somebody that's been out in the world just living it, raking through the kennels of hell itself. They come down and they accept Jesus Christ and immediately they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they weren't even seeking to get filled with the Holy Spirit. It just happened. It's the grace of God. How much more of an example do we need? Don't get tied down in self-righteousness and your goodness. Even in your studying. I hope we understand that. I mean, see, knowledge can puff us up, can it? But it's the love. Yeah. It's the love that we need. It comes together. That's why I love that Spirit and in truth. See, that Holy Spirit is the love. The Holy Spirit's the one that brings the fullness of the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart. See, that's when we can enter into all truth, because we can't even start to enter into truth unless we really understand the love of God. Have you met people with a lot of knowledge of the Word? I have. And I appreciate that people know God. I really do, in a sense, and know the Word. But I want to know it here. I want it to be working here. If one verse works here, what a marvel. If I know everything and it's just up here, it didn't do me any good. It didn't do me any good. I could have faith to move mountains, read the Word, know it, all of those things. Voice of men and angels. Give all my money to the poor, all these great works that I could have you see me do. But if I have not love, it profited me nothing. And it didn't profit you a thing either. And we're going to go into reading about that fellowship with the mystery of Christ. And we're going to read about it's all about love. And it's all about loving one another. And it's going to be all about unity of the Spirit. That's the last step that you're going to be being brought into. And I believe that this congregation, by the grace of God, is being prepared right now at this time in this final call to Christ's best. Hallelujah. But they see we're putting themselves under the measure of the law still. They were practicing the ceremony and the sacrifice which was done away with in Christ. Those who do not see and live the full grace of God will never be in or even really have any type of a vision of the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. What a privilege to be called to that. Let's go on to verses 23 and 24. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, a few last things about 23 and 24. I'm sorry about that. I want to make sure we're there. Okay. God, the judge of all. And yes, He is the judge of all. And He does that always which is right. And may we submit to that judgment on the old creation and judge our own flesh. And that's so important about judging our own flesh. We talked about that the other day. We're to examine ourselves. And I believe that 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine ourselves. Whether we be in the faith. Huh? And we know that. Again, you can't fool God. You can think that you're in the faith. You can play like you're in the faith. But only you, by examining yourself, really know if you're in the faith. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You measure your life by the things that are written in the Word of God. It's very simple. It's very plain. You don't take the Word of God and try to just apply it to how you need it to happen in your life. I know many, many people that try to do that. Well, I feel that God is bringing me this way. Now, wait a second. That's not lining up with the Word of God. And I'll tell you a little story about a man that I was talking to a few months back. He's an assistant minister. He has 3 children. He has a wife. And he was just getting ready to leave for a year. He said, oh, I believe God wants me to go out and to go preach the word somewhere. I believe it was somewhere in South America. And he says, what do you think of that? And I'm just going to tell you, the Lord, I believe, just immediately hit me with it. He said, let me tell you something. You don't support your family. You don't do that. You're worse than an infidel. And he looked at me and he says, oh, well, I'm going to have money. I'm going to have support. I said, no, 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 no. That's the last of support of your family. The first one is you being there. And we talked about it a little bit a couple Wednesdays ago. You can be in your house and still really not be there. You need to be there. And only Jesus can make you that way. You need to be there to support your wife, your husband, your children, all of those things. And that's what God wants for us, is to be in that type of relationship with Him. To examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. How am I in the faith? By being the man of God that He wants me to be. By being the husband that He wants me to be. By being the daddy that He wants me to be. The friend, the brother in Christ, all of these things. That's the fullness of God working in my life. I can't just compartmentalize different pieces of my life that I'm going to allow God to have and live this lie somewhere else. What are we? We're the new creation. You're created in holiness and righteousness in Christ Jesus. He has given that to you. Anything else is a lie. Do you realize that? That's not you that's doing wrong. See, that's going to blow your mind now, isn't it? But it's true. I've known people that will use that as an excuse too. Well, that's not me, see. No, I need to reckon that thing dead. I need to reckon it dead. Like David did when he came into that realization. He says, I've sinned against the Lord. I'm sorry. I have a repentant heart. But then you get the ones, I just heard a man on TV, I think it was the day before yesterday. Well, the Lord will forgive you if you confess your sins. Where does it say that in the Word of God? It doesn't. The Lord is, if you're His child, He forgot them. He forgot them. But it's you this is talking about and going on. What kind of heart are you going to have with Him? Are you going to be tender, something that He can work with? Break up the fallow ground like Brother Hill used to always talk about? That's so the Word could work deeply in our lives. This is the most important thing we're ever talking about. I can be in principle. I can be in hardness. I can be right. But that doesn't mean I'm being godly. Being godly is loving. Sometimes it's putting up with a lot. It's 70 times 7, isn't it? It's enduring for Christ's sake. It's being whipped and beaten, but yet laughing, saying, thank you, Lord, just like those crazy disciples when they got up and they said, they were giggling and they're like a couple little kids. Can you imagine we're suffering for Jesus Christ's sake?
I know you're sitting there going, man, you're touching in something. You're a nut. Where are we? I'm counseling you to buy what? The gold. Oh, tried in the fire. If we want him, we're going to have to go, aren't we? What's it say about that Laodicean church right before that? They were neither hot nor cold. That's what Christianity is today. They don't want to suffer for Christ's sake, do they? They don't want to know him. They don't want to have anything really to do with him. They just want to sit there. I counsel you. You need this for your life. You think about anything in life, don't you have to kind of go at it? Isn't life kind of competitive? I was thinking about my little boy. The school that he used to go to. They took the football away. They took the basketball away at recess. You say, why is he talking about this? Well, I want you to tell you about where man's going right now. They said, we don't want him to be competitive out there. Being a Christian is competitive. Talks about a race, doesn't it? Talks about a run. Talks about winning. I'm not racing against you. By the grace of God, we're running together. But it's a race. And it's a fight. And you're going to be in that fight every day if you're going with Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith, There's a battle to be won. I'm holding fast that crown which thou hast, that no man take it from me. That's my battle. We can get complacent. We can get a lot of things. But this is the world that's coming at us today. It's here. It's in our country. I'm not going to get off in a lot of different things, but it's very true. You think about where we're going with it. What do you think socialism is? It's just a dressed up communism. Don't fool yourself. It truly is. Trying to make all people like everybody else. They're getting there, aren't they? They really are getting there. Know what's going on. Don't partake in it. Don't need to do that. We don't need to get even excited about it, except excited that the Lord said that was going to happen right before He comes. That's what we get excited about. People run around here and saying, how we got to change the world. That's what most Christian churches are doing today. We got to get out there and we got to change the world. We got to change our government. We got to change our schools. We got to change all of these different things. I'd pray to God a lot of this would change. Don't get me wrong. But I'm the greatest optimist by the grace of God there's ever been. Because I am so excited about the things that are happening now. Don't be depressed. I don't look at my kids and I'm discouraged and frightful and fearful for them. In a way, I could be. But in God, no way. Because I know, by the grace of God, they can grow up into little men of God, into big men of God. Isn't that awesome? They can have Christ's best. And He can protect them. And I know He will. But see, that's examining ourselves. I don't know how we got into all that. But that's the truth. Is examining ourselves whether we be in the faith, and they that judge out the reward to them will be to them that diligently seek Him. Now, the spirit of the just ones made perfect. There's another company that they're brought to. The just ones are found in Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. And we kind of already touched on these because these are the Old Testament overcomer believers. They were the ones made perfect by Jesus' resurrection. These are the ones mentioned in Hebrews 11:35 that obtained the better resurrection and received their glorified bodies. And again, this was the Old Testament type of the out resurrection or the Old Testament overcomers. Isn't that precious? There's two groups, Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. Hallelujah. Those are the New Testament full overcomers. Over and over and over. And I know most of us know this. But by the grace of God, live it now. I mean, really have it revealed to you that this is your life. My life isn't at 15, 1526. I can't even remember my address right now. Isn't that great? But see, it's not there. See, when you get heavenly, you can't remember these things. My address is over there. I'm talking about the things that are forever. Lay aside every weight. The sin that so easily besets us. And run. Oh, run the race. It's patient. It's patient. It's patient. And it's patient. Hallelujah. And those tribulation by the grace of God, He's got to give us that for us to get real patient to be able to be good runners. Thank you, Jesus. But the multitude of the Old Testament believers are still in their graves awaiting the general resurrection mentioned in Daniel 12:2. And actually, if you turn over there with me, just to read that 12:2. And when I said most of them are still there, because we read there in Matthew 27, it said there that some of them arose, right? Some. The majority are still there in the graves. They're waiting for their resurrection. And this is 12:2 here. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So again, there throughout the Word of God over and over, it'll reiterate, it'll substantiate, and it will go ahead and prove what the Lord is trying to say there. And finally, the last is finally to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Moses was the greatest prophet. He was, says it in the Word of God, but he couldn't save anybody. Nope, he couldn't. Nope, he was only a type. Aaron was a type, and all of those different ones were just type from Joseph to all of the different ones. But Jesus was the only one that could die for man. He was the Son of God and is the Son of God. He is the mediator, the intercessor, as we've read, the advocate, and the redeemer. And you think of so many religions in this world anymore, they've removed him from every one of those, aren't they? We're talking about a group of people that believe that they have a mediator here on earth. They believe that there is a co-redeemer that was been here on earth. I think you already know who I'm talking about. Don't even need to mention it. Where is that in the Word of God? I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I didn't need any assistance there, did I? Nope. It was my blood. It was all in me. And I've been here from the very beginning. I created it all. It's the work of my fingertips. But everything is in you. And it's not going to be complete until we're there. I believe so wonderfully it says about those Old Testament believers, the Old Testament worthies of faith, they're not going to be made perfect until we're over there. Isn't that awesome to think? How special you are. Come into the Word of God and I'll tell you how special you are. I realize that His desire is toward me. I don't need anybody else's desire toward me. I really don't. I'm starting to get just really comfortable with Jesus. Not to be arrogant in any way. I appreciate when people love me. I really do. But I'm falling in love with Him. I'm really falling in love with Him. And this what this whole journey is about. Is understanding how He loves me. And when I really realize how He loves me, I can't help but love Him more and more every day. That's what He's bringing out to us. Praise God. But He is grace, and He brought the better covenant. Let's read John 1:17 in closing here. That's John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? He brought it all, didn't He? Hallelujah. So many will try again to tell you all these different things. Abel's sacrifice pointed from the very beginning to the necessity of the blood and to the Christ that would come one day and die for us. The ultimate sacrifice is our Lord and our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Thank You again, dear God, for this Word. We thank You for just being so dear to us. I thank You for brothers and sisters of like faith again that want to come and hear Your Word. Thank You that this grace and this truth is what draws us. We understand, Lord, that really if it's anything else that's trying to draw us to You, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And we know that You're the one that draws us, that we don't even have it within us that we would seek You without You drawing us, Lord. It's so much grace. I humbly thank You for giving us so much grace. May each one of us be so touched here this evening that You love us so. If any of us here might be a little bit down, a little bit fearful about things, maybe a little disappointed or depressed about things going on in our life, you know, Lord, You are Your gospel is the cure to all of it. Your gospel of love to us is the cure to every single thing. Help us to just see Jesus, to listen to that wonderful name, Jesus. Jesus. And in that name, we are completely healed. We thank You in Your precious name. Amen.